This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Have you heard of HIV PrEP? Hopefully so. That's when an HIV negative person takes a medication, which is a pill, once a day, and it's highly effective at preventing HIV from being passed on.
Thousands of Australians are now taking HIV PrEP, either at demonstration studies or by purchasing the drug from overseas. Just this week, a new study was announced in Western Australia.
Now, there was lots of community debate when the idea of HIV PrEP first came up. One issue is that HIV PrEP does not provide any protection from sexually transmitted infections or STIs.
If picked up soon after they acquired, most STIs can be treated easily, but left untested and untreated, STIs can lead to more serious health problems. That's why long-running campaigns like the Drama Down Under encourage gay and bisexual men to get tested regularly.
But what if there was another option? An antibiotic pill that could prevent STIs. You probably haven't heard of this idea until now.
Earlier this month, clinicians and community met up in Canberra at a national conference to share and discuss the latest in HIV and STI information.
What we heard earlier in the month on the show from the conference was that HIV rates are now stable or falling. But we also heard that rates of STIs are rocketing in gay and bisexual men and also in heterosexual groups and amongst Indigenous people.
Ian spoke to two people who were part of a panel debate on STI PrEP at the conference. Associate Professor David Templeton, who is Clinical Service Manager at RPA Sexual Health in Sydney, and also to Chris Williams from PrEP Access Now.
Now, this is a new topic and we'd love to know what you think about what they have to say. Do you think this would be an acceptable new addition to preventing STIs? Would you consider taking a pill to prevent STIs if it was safe and effective?
You can message us on 0427 JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au and we'll try to get to your messages later in the show. Tell us what you think. For now, here's the interview.
Okay, so we have on the line Associate Professor David Templeton, and we have in the studio Chris Williams from PrEP for Change. The topic today is PrEP for STIs, for sexually transmitted infections. Is that a real thing, David?
Well, look, it's not something that is widely happening at the moment, but certainly there's a lot of discussion both in the community and amongst the healthcare community as well about possible benefits of giving antibiotics to prevent high-risk individuals, including gay and bisexual men, acquiring certain sexually transmissible infections.
So how would it work?
Look, it would be generally the trials, and there's not been many studies that have happened at all, but it would involve taking either a daily dose or a dose after an episode of high risk or condomless sex to reduce the future risk of acquiring syphilis and chlamydia.
So this is a pill? This is an antibiotic pill?
It is, yes. It's an antibiotic pill that's commonly, it's been around for decades, and it's commonly used for treating things like pneumonia in the outpatient setting. It's used for treating acne and other conditions as well.
So Chris, you've been involved in PrEP for Change for several years now. We've seen a lot of community advocacy for HIV PrEP. Is it a similar community that are taking up an interest in STI PrEP?
Well, on the basis that that's a very, very small pool that I fish in quite often in terms of actually the people that I'm speaking with, then absolutely there is interest in this space. And anecdotally, I know that there are a few people that are already accessing this as a means to help protect themselves and other people within Australia already. So despite the lack of clinical guidelines in this area in terms of what's acceptable or what we should be doing, we already have people that are accessing it for this purpose.
So we are seeing a stabilization or maybe a drop in HIV. Many people that have spoken to us on the show before have attributed that to HIV PrEP. But at the same time, we're also seeing increases in STIs. So that means what? Chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis. Is this the option? I mean, I'd ask you as well, David. I mean, what can we do about those increases in STIs? It sounds like STI prep is one option.
Yes, certainly it is. I guess the other, you know, the other option is testing more frequently so that you're identifying these STIs in a more timely manner and then being able to treat them to shorten the duration of infection, because that's one of the key determinants of spread of these STIs in the community. Obviously, many of them are asymptomatic. People don't know they have them, but they can easily pass them on. And if they are testing more frequently, then they will find out earlier if they have one of these infections. Even if they don't have any symptoms, they'll then be adequately treated and then will be non-infectious to future partners. But certainly the STI prophylaxis is an interesting proposal as well. There's been a couple of studies so far, only one real published study, which was published about 2 years ago, a very small pilot study from the US, which only enrolled about 30 individuals, and their criteria for entry were that they were all HIV positive and they had a couple of episodes of syphilis infection since their HIV diagnosis. And that study found overall that there was a significant reduction in STIs, but it wasn't really powered. You know, there weren't enough people in it to really draw any firm conclusions. So it was really a kind of pilot study, I guess you would call it. But subsequent to that, in a big international HIV conference in February this year, researchers from France who are carrying out the IPERGAY study, which is a study looking at on-demand or intermittent PrEP, which is not currently recommended in Australia. We're recommending daily tablets.
This is HIV PrEP, yeah.
Yes, it is, yep. HIV PrEP. So they did a sub-study within their study, which looked at just over 200 men, and half of those men were advised to take 200 milligrams of that doxycycline antibiotic within 72 hours of their exposure, and the other half were not. And they actually found a substantial reduction over the study period in both chlamydia and gonorrhea. The reductions were around 70% amongst those men who were taking the single one-off 200 milligrams of doxycycline following high-risk sex, compared with those who were not. However, there was no significant reduction in the gonorrhea rates, which is unsurprising because doxycycline is actually not active against gonorrhea.
So it sounds like there is some evidence, although you would like more. Chris, you know people in the community already that are using this as a method to prevent STIs, or they believe that they're preventing STIs. Isn't the science actually behind what's happening in community?
Well, I think it's often the case that we've seen in Australia, certainly, that people are very, very resourceful and they will go to extraordinary lengths in order to get what they believe is going to protect them and make a difference to their well-being, especially when that's attributed to something fundamentally emotional and human as an act of sex. So ultimately, I think we've got a lot of people that are very motivated and very empowered to go and seek out solutions. What we've got is a situation, however, where we have healthcare professionals now that maybe have some concerns regarding whether that's the most appropriate thing for a widespread community.
So, I mean, at this point, we haven't really got to what are the concerns? What would be the problem? This sounds fantastic so far from what we've been told.
I think some of the concerns that I've heard from clinicians so far are things such as what is the consequence to an individual? We know that certainly use of doxycycline over an extended period of time can have some side effects, such as photosensitivity of the skin and upsetting gut bacteria as well. And ultimately, we now understand that gut bacteria plays a major part in the well-being of people holistically, especially from a mental health perspective. Mm-hmm. So as a result of that, adding doxycycline into the mix could have strange consequences over a long-term basis. We're not really yet sure of that, to my understanding. Yep. I think from clinicians, there is also a concern regarding antibiotic resistance in general.
Right.
And that's another bigger kind of public healthcare concern.
Yeah, because we hear about antibiotic resistance, about the misuse of antibiotics all the time.
Right.
Government campaigns trying to restrict the amount of antibiotics being used. You were both at the ASHRM conference a couple of weeks ago, and there was a panel discussion. How much were people talking about the benefits and how much were they talking about the risks like antibiotic resistance at that forum? David?
Well, there was probably equal amounts of talk about both. I think the broad term that we use for the correct use of antibiotics, which is really being extensively hammered into us as clinicians, especially over the last year or two, is the term antimicrobial stewardship. And that's really the program to promote appropriate use of antibiotics to improve patient outcomes and reduce antibiotic resistance and reduce the spread of infections caused by multi-drug resistant organisms. And we all have heard several reports over many years in the media about, these horrendous untreatable bugs, which cause great problems for doctors looking after very sick patients in hospital. And then when they're in hospital, they can be readily transmitted from patient to patient, and that can cause real problems for especially seriously ill patients such as those in intensive care. So I think that's a major concern, certainly amongst the infectious disease and microbiology communities. If you're using drugs that may not necessarily be needed, and as Chris said, are broadly active against a number of bacteria. So in fact, doxycycline, for example, is one of the common antibiotics that's used for outpatient pneumonia treatment. And also, it will have activity against good bugs, because we have, our bodies are full of good bugs that actually protect us against the bad bugs. And if you actually treat these broadly these infections, you can often knock out these good protective bugs, which then allow the bad bugs to overgrow and cause illnesses in those people who take them over an extended period of time.
So David, given the amount of what we know and what we don't know, you've told us about that and you've told us about some of the risks. If someone came to you, maybe someone who was already on HIV PrEP and said that they wanted to get STI PrEP, what would you say to them?
So I would currently say to them that we really need to have more research into this topic. I mean, I think certainly there is a lot of discussion and a lot of research that needs to be done to really get the idea, as Chris said, of what the rates of side effects are, what the optimum dosage are, what the risks of development of antimicrobial resistance are. I mean, I can give you an example of when we gonorrhea's got the most media attention around this, because we're really on the cusp of potentially in this country having strains of gonorrhea that are untreatable with the current antibiotics that we have, and that's a huge concern. And a lot of that has been put down to the inappropriate use of antibiotics by healthcare workers in Australia, but not just in Australia, but in countries overseas, where you can simply go into a shop and just buy some very strong antibiotics without even seeing a doctor or having a doctor's prescription. So my personal stance at the moment is that I wouldn't prescribe it, and I would very much discuss the pros and cons of that. But as Chris said, many gay men are very resourceful. There are online websites where people can order these things, and the gay community are often, mostly I would say, very educated in these facts, and if they want to go out and get there, I'm sure they can get them from other places. And certainly anecdotally, there are, as Chris said, some clinicians who have prescribed it. They may not be prescribing it on the PBS, because it's not a licensed indication for prescribing on the PBS, but they can prescribe it on private scripts, and that way people, the drug itself is actually quite cheap, so they could actually purchase it privately.
Chris, I mean, you know of people, I've spoken to people as well who are taking STI PrEP, if that's what we call it, at the present time. A group like PrEP for Change, I mean, people look to you for leadership. Do you have a position or guidance, or what do you say to people that are asking about this at the present time?
I think my stance on this one really has to be from a lens of harm reduction. Ultimately, I don't want to be preaching to people in terms of what they should and shouldn't do. That's up to an individual to come to the party and make their own decisions to manage their own healthcare. If somebody is using doxycycline, then I'd like to present them with information regarding the lack of studies that we have regarding this at the moment, and encourage them to make sure they are making being looped in with their GP to manage their own healthcare, as opposed to just self-medicating without the clinical guidance of a GP. I wouldn't want to encourage anybody to start using STI prophylaxis until we've actually got some studies backed up on this. However, I don't want to use as an excuse to prevent future advancements in this space, and I would really encourage there to be more studies in an Australian context for us to give us the understanding and the knowledge to fill in the gaps of knowledge that we're missing at the moment for this.
Chris Williams, David Templeton, thank you very much for your time on The Informer.
Pleasure.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.